Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. We welcome all our listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to this program, The Bliss of Marriage. Today's date is the 17th of Jumad al-Ula, 1443, corresponding to the date 22nd December 2021. Listeners are urged to send their queries through to the number 084-786-3132. If you're in a foreign country, it's +27847863132. We have our Honorable Mufti Sapia. Mufti Sap, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa zaid khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Sahib, the first question here is, the person says, my mother-in-law says I'm not innocent as my husband because I never used to wear niqab from my cousin for 1 year when I was 13 and just went into parda. Because of this, she says my husband must divorce me. He doesn't want to divorce me. Please advise, Mufti Sahib.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A few announcements, then I'll respond to the question in inshallah. Alhamdulillah, today is the 17th of Jumad al-Ula 1443. Yesterday we heard the sad news regarding our brother Faisal Asmal, that his mother passed away. So we make dua for her and all the marhumin. Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala grant her Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. And daily we should be reading Surah chapter 14 verse 41. Rabbana فلي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. Oh beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. Chapter 14 verse 41. I have mentioned to you on several occasions, the listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, whenever we hear someone has passed away, inshallah they passed away with Iman and Islam, then two verses, and we should read it. Allah Ta'ala will give us the reward, bless them as well. Allah Ta'ala grant our Faisal Asmal, his family and all of them Sabre Jameel. The second verse is chapter 59 verse 10. Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil Iman. Oh beloved Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us with Iman. Many a time we don't know who passed away, but we know they're Muslim. So this is the ideal verse to read, because they are our brothers, sisters in faith. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. And then the second part of this verse, chapter 59, verse 10, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا. Ya Allah, do not place in our hearts the malice, rancor, hatred. لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ رَحِيمٌ. For people who possess true Iman, verily, Ya Allah, you are the one who is very, very compassionate, very, very merciful. Chapter 59, verse 10. So that dua we should be making daily for ourselves, for our marhumeen. Allah Jalla wa Ala, forgive the deceased. Grant them Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la and all the family Sabri Jamil. Second one, our Maulana Shabir Saluji, he is also not well, and he was in hospital and clinic and so forth for a few days now. So we make dua for him, the principal of Darul Zakaria. Allah Jalla wa Ala grant Hazrat Maulana Shifa Kamil, complete cure, and all those who are ill, all parts of the world. So always give out charity also, that 1 rand, 2 rand, 5 rand, whatever. Madawu marudakum bisadaqa. So one type of dawa and medication is we give out charity to Muslim, non-Muslim. This is voluntary charity in cash or kind, and that is the role we can play. Ya Allah, we beg you, petition you for siha and afia, that grant us health and good health and protection, safety, all that will come in protection, preservation of our Iman, Islam. And we ask Allah, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min sayyil asqam. Ya Allah, we seek your protection from the dreaded diseases, evil sicknesses. So that's the authentic hadith. The first one of afia is mentioned in Tirmidhi, and the second one is mentioned there in Sunan Nasai. So always learn and read these du'as. Then number three is, we know that tomorrow, inshallah, in our fiqh lesson, Maulana Zahid Khan and myself, between 11 and 12, we'll be discussing Islam versus Christmas. What does Islam say? And we will give you a lot of information which we should know about as Muslims. And that will be during the day, 11 to 12. Then inshallah, tomorrow night, between 8 and 10, we will have a special Q&A, and any questions you can ask Muslims, non-Muslims, inshallah. And that will be on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah, tomorrow night, that is Thursday night, inshallah al-Aziz, between 8 and 10, inshallah al-Aziz. Okay, here we have a situation. Husband and wife seem to be very, very happy. And remember, the mother-in-law is poking her nose into their business. And she's telling this lady who might be 18, 20, that no, because you never used to wear niqab and so forth, so her son must divorce her. So must the son divorce her? No, you don't have to listen to your mother. Your mother is being jealous, envious, and Allah alone knows what other hidden agenda she has. So in cases like this, you don't listen to your mother. Your mother is being very, very jealous and very, very selfish at the same time, and she wants to judge other people. Now the lady is wearing, she made tawbah, so finish, Allah forgive. So what you have to keep on harping and so forth? So tell your mother, and you can tell your mother-in-law also. So you, the son, should tell your mother, that would be the best. Fala tuzakku anfusakum. Do not try and purify yourself and say, identify yourself. Huwa a'lamu biman ittaqa. He, Allah alone, knows who has taqwa. If your daughter and she should start looking at all your vices and all your sins, then she can also count 10, 20, 100,000. So remember that. And this is mentioned in chapter 53, Surah 53, Surah Al-Najmi. Do not go and purify, sanctify yourself. Fala tuzakku anfusakum. Huwa a'lamu. He, Allah alone, knows who has real taqwa, piety, and Allah consciousness. So you stay with your wife and read Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, and make it clear to your mother that you're not going to listen to her regarding these type of issues.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, the person asks, is it right for the daughter to tell the mother about how the husband abuses and fights with her all the time, which makes the mother see the son-in-law in a bad light?
So 100%, if for real you're not adding masala and spice and so forth, and all these problems are ongoing and maybe from going from bad to worse, so then she has all the right. You must remember, the first is husband wife will have disagreement. They will be sometimes they're upset with one another. So that is normal, and that you should keep within the bedroom, within the house. Was sulhu khair, Quran Kareem states. Hamara kam jorna hai, torna nahi. Our function, duty, is to make the home and not break the home. But where the husband is abusing the wife and on a daily basis swearing her, cursing her, even maybe physically hitting her, abusing her, assaulting her, or with the tongue or whatever, emotional abuse and so forth, and is not stopping, rather it's increasing. So in that case there, the lady that is the wife of that person, she will be justified to bring this to the attention of her biological parents, her family, her brother, sister, whoever. And in that way there, they can have a joint strategy, and then they can come in and speak to the boy's parents or speak to the son-in-law himself and so forth. Dad, look at your behavior. Quran Sharif is teaching us Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 19, 19. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and treat your wives with love, equity and justice. I always give this example. How you want your son-in-law to treat your daughter, your own biological daughter, so you treat your wife better than that. Then remember, inshallah, you're doing a good job. Quran Kareem, Allah is commanding. This is not a suggestion or something. This is an instruction, a commandment, an amr from Almighty Allah. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and you treat your server, treat your wives with love, equity and justice. Then you see the noble example of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is that? خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِيكُمْ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. Ah, the best of you, the best of you are those who are good to your wives and to your children. Is authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِيكُمْ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي, and I am the best to my wives and my children. So this is hadith, mashallah, mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. So each one of us should know and realize that what we need to do is this, that we should be treating our wives, our children very well. I heard Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, the sage of the age, he used to always give this example. The whole world can say you are bad, but your wife and children say you are good. Then remember, by Allah, then by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are good. Because your wife and children are saying you are good. So they know your private life, they know your moods, they know everything. And the whole world can say you are good, but your wife and children say you are bad. How many people today put on a show in front of people, but you ask the wives, you ask the children, the person treats them very, very badly. So such people are hated and detested by Allah Jalla Wala and by Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even though many people will say that is a good person, but by Allah is a bad person. So that is the barometer, that is the criteria Islam uses.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, the person says, after hearing our program on Ila, if the husband stays away from you for 4 months or more without taking an oath, is that also Ila?
No. You must remember, that's not Ila. Otherwise, you're going to use that, then all those old people, you must remember, they are all, their nikah will break. That day, 80 years old, 85, 90 years old, half past six, and all these type of things, what will happen then? So you must remember that, then the nikah will break. No, it's not like that. So the person must take an oath, or he must use the word Ila, and so forth. Just because they not just said, maybe he's not able of capable of fulfilling the conjugal rights, he can't be intimate with you because of old age, or because of some illness, sickness, or because of, you take these people now, how many of them, yeah, in South Africa we see, that you see so many people from India, Pakistan, or from the Arab countries, Egyptians, Moroccans, here and there, or African countries, you take the cave, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Malawi, and here and there, you ask them, where's your wife? They say, they're at home, and they're spending the whole year here. So obviously they didn't go to their wife. So in a case like that, the nikah is still valid and so forth and so on. Although it is not an ideal situation, but the nikah is definitely valid.
Mufti Sahib, the next person, this person says, is it permissible to shoot those shameless women who stand and sell themselves on the side of on the road with a paintball gun so that they can learn not to stand there?
Remember, in Islam, we never ever promote fawda. Fawda is the Arabic word for mayhem and chaos. That who gives you the right to go and shoot them and so forth? You make a mistake and you shoot them in the eye, they go blind. So who will be responsible? So you must remember, definitely not permissible for you to do that. What you must do is go tell the police, go tell the higher authorities and so forth that this is happening and so forth. So we cannot take the law into our own hands in Islam, and there's great wisdom in that. Every person then will lead, it will take to that, say, no, I want to do this, I want to do that. It will lead to greater anarchy and greater mayhem and chaos. Make dua for them, get somebody to speak to them, so forth, so on. And in that way, there may be something that happened. But how long, you see, our own homes, like this, we are very quick to judge them. But you go to 100, you take 100 Muslim homes, and you say 80-90% you can go to, you will find that they got all the pornography playing on the TV, you got the pornography playing on their phones, you got all the movies, shameless movies, adult movies, all that and all that playing there. So what's so good about you compared to the lady then? So therefore we must always be careful about this. To judge others is very easy, but ourselves, remember that we ourselves guilty of a very similar crime. So she's selling her body and people are watching what's happening. So you must remember, and that also on a daily basis. So if somebody tells us, Allah forbid, they want to come in our bedroom, commit adultery, fornication, they want to come and do gay brigade and gay business, they want to drink alcohol, we will blow the whole rooftop away. But the whole day they were showing all this on the TV, on the phones and all these kind of things. That we just turn a blind eye. Everybody sitting together. Father, mother, son, daughter watching the movie. Father-in-law, daughter-in-law movie, watching the movie. It's not happening. So we must understand that you can't be taking the law into your own hands, whether it's this gun or that gun and so forth. You know what happened. Now we make dua for him. Maulana Yusuf Bhikkhu's grandson. So you see what happened there also. So Allah Ta'ala grant him also complete shifa. And whoever else is ill, Allah Jalla wa'ala make easy for all of them.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, the lady says, I am expecting currently and unable to do much. I can barely cook and clean and my husband is seeing to himself and he serves me. Am I sinful?
No, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wusaha. So remember Surah 2 verse 286, Allah has not burdened any person more than his ability, capability, capacity. So you served him well for the past 5-10 years. Now you are in your last stage of your pregnancy, your feet and your foot and all that, your legs are all swollen up, you can't even walk properly, you need all the rest. So it's very good. Let the husband serve you and so forth. There's no sin upon you. Marriage is not a dictatorship. Marriage is a partnership. Surah 2, chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 187. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. So they are the garments for you, the wives, and you are the clothing for them. So remember, when you are sick, then he will serve you, and when he is sick, then you serve him, and so forth. So it's a give and take situation. There is no sin upon you, sister. Take that out of your head. Sometimes shaitan brings funny waswasa, you know, that always in life you can interpret things how you want to. I see a glass there, and remember I say it's half full, but you can say no, it's half empty. So one is we optimistic and you being pessimistic and so forth. So people sometime today, these are the funny things that happen in marriage, in-laws, how we treat our daughter and how we treat the daughter-in-law. Same thing, your same crime, same mistake they made. But you see the response, 90% will be different. How we treat our mother, how we treat our mother-in-law, you will see different. So that is where all these problems stem from. We make the mother-in-law the outlaw, or we make the daughter-in-law the outlaw, and that is where all these problems come about.
The next question is, my sister is Muslim. She's married to a non-Muslim. Her children are all non-Muslim. My sister's husband accepted Islam a few years back. He passed away on Tuesday. How does my sister give her children shares on the house?
Remember that, let us look at the sequence of events. That she is a Muslim, right? That is your sister. And then when she got married to this person here, so remember, he was not Muslim. And then they had their 3-4 children and so forth. So Quran Kareem states, Surah 60, verse number 10, La hunna hillul lahum wa la hum yahilluna lahun, that the Muslim lady is not halal for the non-Muslim man, and the non-Muslim man is not halal, not permissible for the Muslim lady. So every minute, every hour they spend together, Allah's curse was on both of them. It was a haram and illicit relationship, and all the children are haramis and illegitimate children and beasts. As far as Islam go, we must be clear on this issue. So in a case like that, the lineage of all the children will go to the mother and not the father. Thereafter, now all the children are born already in the last year, last 2 years, whatever the case was. So remember, then he embraced Islam. So the day he embraced Islam, so you had to perform a new nikah. So even if you perform the new nikah, still these children remain illegitimate. And if you didn't perform nikah, so you were still living in sin. So anyway, for that you can make tawbah and so forth. Now when he, this father, if you want to call him father, inverted commas, so he passes away, what shares are there for these 3-4 children? Zero. They don't inherit a cent. Why they don't inherit a cent? So you must remember, la yarithul muslimul kafir wal kafirul muslim. A non-Muslim does not inherit from a Muslim, and a Muslim does not inherit from a non-Muslim. Second, the illegitimate children, so then also they don't inherit. Third one, you also don't inherit. So you must remember that. If you must remember that you married him whilst you were a Muslimah and he was non-Muslim, and thereafter your love for 5-10 years, 2-3-4 children were born, and then he became Muslim, and thereafter, remember, you all did not make nikah. So it means you were still living in sin. So you also don't inherit from him. Yes, if you made nikah with him after he embraced Islam, then you will inherit from him. So you, my sister, you need to understand all these things here. And if he has all these children like this, so you must remember they're not attributed. Their lineage will not go to him. So they are wujuduhu wa adamuhu aysawa. They will be considered as non-entities as far as is concerned. After he embraced Islam and then a nikah was performed, then your share will be 25%, because these children are not counted as far as inheritance goes. So, but if you know nikah was performed, then you also get zero and so forth. Yes, if he wrote a will, that is your this boyfriend or husband, if you are made nikah. If he wrote the will and in there he bequeathed to them certain amount, so then you can say up to 1/3 they can inherit and so forth. Not inherit, the wrong word there. We don't use the word inheritance. Then he can say that he made wasiya for them, he bequeathed for them. So up to 1/3 then they can get a share. So the best thing, because there's different scenarios, maybe you will get mixed up, explain everything to you, but contact your local ulama and so forth, and make sure you go to somebody who's well experienced and so forth, otherwise will give you wrong advice also.
Muftisab, the next question is, my wife always says I earn very little money. What must I do, Muftisab?
Yes, you must remember that today the women normally they will complain. Therefore Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sinfani min ahli nar, that remember two groups of people, they lend end up in Jahannam. One is the man, قَوْمٌ مَعَهُمْ أَسْيَاتٌ, that one is the man who got a whip and they want to lash everybody with that, the zalim. You can see what's happening in a Muslim countries, Arab countries, how the zalim tanpot dictators, what they are doing to the ulama, haqqani true ulama, what they're doing to the true people and so forth. And second category, remember, will be the women. Nisa'un kasiyatun ariyatun fil akhirah. Some women think that they are dressed, but they are naked in the hereafter. And wa ala ru'usihinna ka aslimatil mubukht. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma ilatun mumilat, that they'll be dancing, jiving and so forth, attracting attention. And on their head will be the big Eiffel Tower, the bun and all that. Lam yajidna ra'ihat al-jannah. So now my Jannah and paradise, even the fragrance of paradise they will not get. This is authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. So that is what we need to remember. Second one. Third one is this. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when I went to Jannah, meaning that on the occasion of Mi'raj, the miraculous nocturnal journey, I saw majority of the people there in Jannah, in Jahannam, in the hellfire. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Jannat and Jahannam, so the paradise and hellfire. So the hellfire majority were females. So why? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tuksirna la'ana, you curse people too much, wa takfurna al-ashir, and they're ungrateful to the husband. Your money is not enough, this is not enough, that is not enough. So you must see, are you providing for her all the basic things or not? If you are doing that, then continue making dua. Both of you read the Asma'ul Husna, 99 names of Allah, and make dua after that. Read Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhabu. Read Ya Basitu, Ya Basitu. Inshallah, Allah will open up many doors and so forth. If you are not earning enough, really, and you know there's no food at home and so forth, then obviously you need to look for another job as well. And in that way there, you can't be shirking your responsibilities. When we get more married, then the boarding, lodging, everything, roti, kapra, makan, the food, the shelter, the clothing, medication, everything's upon the husband. So you have to pay all the expenses, brother. So remember, so you know best what your situation is, what is your wife's expenses, how many children you have, what are their expenses, and so forth and so on.
Alhamdulillah, we welcome our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, back to this program, The Bliss of Marriage. Mufti Sahib, the next question is it true the Christians are being harassed in Israel?
If you just read the Haaretz newspaper, you will find an official letter from so many church groups. You must remember that they are being harassed and so forth, because they also fall in the category of Palestinians. So the apartheid, the rogue terrorist regime of Israel came and they established their Jewish Zionist country in 1948. So before that, the Muslims were living there, the Christians were living there. If they were Jews, they were a small, minute amount. Everybody was living in harmony and so forth. And then with the expansion policy of the Jews, with the help and assistance of America and Europe and so forth, so they every day they're stealing, occupying more and more land. So 100% the Christians are 100% justified in complaining to the world that look at what these Jutlas are doing, the Jews are doing, and so forth. And now this season, yeah, Christmas time and so forth. So that is why Islam allows all these type of things. I'll give you the verse now. So Islam says, let them have their churches, let them have, you must have synagogues, let them have their places of worship and so forth, so that they got the freedom of religion. Like Raha Fiddin, Surah chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 256. You know, AK-255. When I was in Maputo, so I tell them that the people say AK. So one AK is AK-47, the gun, everybody knows. But much more powerful than that is AK-255. So they used to wonder. So even the ulama, they couldn't catch it up quickly. So I said, AK, Ayatul Kursi. And 255, Ayat number 255, verse verse number 255 of Surah Baqarah chapter 2. And the next verse Allah says, La ikraha fid din, there is no compulsion in religion. Everybody follows what they want to. But if you want to embrace Islam, then it must be that from the inner recesses of your heart, not that you're coming there because you want to marry a lady or because you got some hidden agenda and so forth and so on. So that obviously is unacceptable. We must be clear on all these issues as well. Then next one, we must remember that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us that walawla dafullahi nasa ba'dahum bibad. So if people, there's no jihad, there's no fighting and all that, then what will happen? Lahuddimat sawami'u wa bid'ahu wa masajidu, and all the places of worship, they will be demolished. So it shows that when we have true Islam, then we will coexist. But what the Arabs are doing now, they're closing the masjids like in Morocco and other places and so forth. And you must remember, they build more churches like you see there in Bahrain, or you see there in Emirates building the big temple for the idol worshippers. So all that is totally haram and not permissible. So read the verse, chapter Surah 22, Surah Hajj, and verse number 40, you will find it there. So all this shows us that if we are true Muslims, وَلَيَنْسُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْسُرُ, when you have the deen of Almighty Allah with sincerity and you have true iman, Allah will definitely help you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ, Allah is very, very powerful. The Lam is mentioned for further emphasis. Extremely powerful, the most powerful is Allah, and Aziz is the Almighty. Chapter 22, verse number 40. So all these are dalail and evidence for us, so we should be clear. So it's a crime against humanity. It's war crimes committed by them. Remember, who can tell me that Ariel Sharon is not a war criminal? So you must remember that that's why he died like that. 8 years in Sakarat, in Komotos, and so forth. So when Allah ki lati be awaze, when the stick of Allah hits, then no one can ever help you. Remember that. So yes, the Muslims, the Arabs are 100% justified in complaining to the world that look at what this terrorist, Zionist, apartheid regime, rogue regime of Israel is doing. And Allah's punishment is on them. They are cursed people. Remember that. Whether they want to accept, don't accept, that doesn't matter. So chapter 7, verse 167, Allah says, I'm going to punish you right till the day of Qiyamah. Today, you go and read the Haaretz and see. Bennett said they're already in the fifth wave. Now they're going to give them second round of boosters. After that, they'll give them third round of roosters. You understand? Because you know what I mean by roosters. There'll be something else and else. And this thing is a plandemic. It's to fool people. You must remember that. So, but they believe in it. So therefore you believe. So Allah punish you also. So you must remember these type of things. Yeah. So Almighty Allah Jalla, see Palestinians in Gaza. They live like what? This 97% of the water is contaminated. But you will find that in Israel, everyone vaccinated, does. But punishment is on them much more regarding the so-called virus and whatever. So what does that tell you? So Allah is showing you these white countries and all that majority. See what steps they're taking. You just go read about Australia and Netherlands and Austria and here and these African countries, what they worry. They just say zonge lungile and it carries on as normal. Even if they make laws and all that. Today I sent out to the team here. So you must remember what things they use the mask for and all that. So it's a big joke as far as they're concerned. Yeah. The taxis are packed to capacity. The planes are full to capacity. Everybody is sitting together and so forth. But they want to come to the masjid, then you send one right wing, one left wing. Is that not shaitaniyat and so forth? So we need to think a little bit, you know. Don't behave like the non-Muslims and think like the non-Muslims.
Mustazab, the next question is, my wife is pregnant in first trimester and she's weak and not eating. I'm looking after, but she cries and says she's a failure. What do I do? We married 6 months.
No. You must remember, because it is the first pregnancy, so therefore she is feeling like that. You must give her all the himmat, the courage, and get her mother there also, if she can come for even 1 week or few days. So she needs that little bit motherly touch. And now write all these verses down. You, husband and wife, you must first think in life. This is a big problem with us Muslims. From day one, problems come, we become negative with Allah. Said, oh, see the lady, no, I'm a failure. So why are you saying that? Because you must remember, you're forgetting Allah in the process. Say, my Allah will help me. Say, my Allah will give me the strength. And then you use all the things that are permissible at your disposal. So now you both, husband, wife, you must read chapter number 37, verse 100, the dua of a Nabi, Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam, Rabbi habali mina salihin. Oh, beloved Allah, grant me pious children, grant me normal children. So chapter 37, verse 100, chapter 3, verse 38, a dua of another Nabi, Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam, and both of them were very old. Khalilullah Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, in his old age, he was also making this dua. Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam, also old and reciting this dua. And what was that? Chapter 3, verse 38. Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. Ya Allah, grant me such offspring that are pure, that are chaste, and so forth. They don't get involved in vices and all these type of things and sins. Innaka sami'u dua. Verily, Ya Allah, you are the one who listens to the dua, and so forth. So remember that each one of us should be reciting this dua. You, sister, you're feeling down, you're feeling nauseous, first time you're experiencing all this, read Ya Qawiyu, Ya Qawiyu, Ya Qawiyu, Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattahu. Take the 99 names of Allah, keep it in front of you, and in your leisure time, read it as much as possible, and see how Allah will make life easy for you, and daily give out charity, 1 rand, 2 rand, 5 rand, or whether it be a packet of biscuits or food or whatever, whatever is easy for you. So Allah will make things easy for both of you. Don't let negativity come in. When negativity comes in, the shaitan is going to get the better of you. What Quran says this, was chapter 7, verse 200, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ فَنَزْغُونَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. When the shaitan brings his waswasa, his whisperings, his assault and attack and injections and vaccines, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. So in that way, Allah will help you and make it easy. We also make dua for all, inshallah.
Muftisab, the next question is, the person asks, when a person passes away, at what point does the Hisab Kitab begin? A lady at the Mayat said that whilst the Marhum is still in the Mayat house, Munkar and Nakira are already questioning her.
Remember that tomorrow evening we're having a special program, inshallah, on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, between 8 and 10. It will be for this week Thursday and next week Thursday, because our Maulana Arafat is still on leave, and then 3rd of January, inshallah, then everybody will be back, and it will be the new timetable, new schedule. We will send it out next week, inshallah, once everything is finalized. There are few changes and so forth and so on. So anyway, that all these type of questions and so forth you want to ask, and that you ask. Even now, I'll answer it, inshallah. First of all, what is the meaning of death in Islam? If you ask some doctors, medical fraternity, we don't say all, but many of them, they will say, take this person home, he's dead. But Islamically, he's alive. They say brain dead, so he's dead. So that's totally rejected and so forth. I remember vividly, one day I was in Durban, my one cousin is a doctor. So he told me, make sure you don't go far anywhere, there's a janaza tonight. You must remember, this is 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago already. So I asked him, oh, what you mean? He said, that lady is very critical, then she's got few hours left and she'll pass away. It's 2-3 years already, she's still living. So you see, because they see brain dead or this dead and that is totally wrong, we reject it totally. In Islam, the definition of death is one only. When the ruh, the soul, separates from the person, totally finished, then only you will say that person is dead. Otherwise, no, the person will still be considered alive. Second one, that when does all this start? Yes, it's true. So you must remember that all that is spoken about the qabr and that means barzakh. People are drowning, their bodies are never ever retrieved. People are cremated, the ash is thrown in the mountain or in the river or in the sea or whatever you. So remember the hisab, all that starts immediately. Therefore, you must remember Quran speaks about it. The angels will come down to me and you during our lifetime, insha'Allah al-Aziz, with the bushra and bisharat, glad tidings. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu wa abashiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun. That don't fear and don't be sad. Now is your time of departure. We're giving you glad tidings of the Jannah you were promised and so forth. Nahnu awliyaukum fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. And we are your protectors in this world and the year after. Already they're giving the glad tidings before the person even dies. Walakum fiya ma tashtahi anfusukum walakum fiya ma taddaun. For you is whatever you desire and whatever you request. Why? Nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. Hospitality from Almighty Allah, who's very, very forgiving, very, very merciful. So here, if you want the references, chapter 41, Surah Hamim, As-Sajda, and verses 30, 31, 32. So all that you will find, chapter 41, and verses 30, 31, 32, 33 also. So mashallah, so there Almighty Allah is giving us the glad tidings. So therefore, you see sometimes a person passes away, but he or she is smiling. Because why? They already received the bisharat and the glad tidings and so forth prior to their death. Remember that. So it happens like that also.
Mufti Saab, the next question is, the person says, Mufti Saab, please comment, Saudi in alliance with Dajjal Zuckerberg is creating a virtual Mecca in Medina. What does Mufti Saab have to say about this virtual Hajj?
In Islam, there's no such thing as what I say and you say and he say. Islam, we go to Quran Sharif, we go to the Sunnah Mubarakah, the Ahadith Mubarakah, we go to the Fatawa verdicts of Sahaba, and we study the four schools of jurisprudence. That is what the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah is all about. This business of what is your opinion, all that Sayyidina Umar used to say, radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, Iyaka wa ashab al-ray, Iyaka wa ray and ray, or wa ray and all that. So stay away from the people of opinion and people what my opinion. They are the enemies of Islam, this type of people. So that is when they give their opinion based on their whims and fancies and desires. So the Saudi regime currently is full in the hands of the shayateen under America, Israel and the enemies of Islam, and the Dajjali fitna has started already. Just juxtapose and compare this two. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to work it out. You must remember that last year, 2020, how many people perform Hajj? 1,000 people. Some people say 5,000, whatever. It was definitely less than 10,000, right? So that was last year, 2020. This year, how many people perform Hajj? So you must remember 60,000. So that is for Hajj, that is, which is compulsory and no foreigners allowed. Last year also, because they think the Haram Sharif, the Ahle Saud, they think, you must remember, the Haram Sharif belongs to them, the Haramain Sharifain, and they can allow who they want to and so forth. Quran Kareem states, Sawa anil akifu fihi wal bad. The people who come from far, the people who are there, they all must be treated equal. Wa may yurid fihi bi ilhadin bi zulmin nuziqu min adabin alim. When you in the Haram Sharif of Makkah and you bring about ilhad, and that is deviation, bi zulmin and transgression, oppression, nuziqu min adabin alim, then we will punish them a painful, terrible, horrible punishment. Chapter 22, Surah Hajj, verse 25, is there in the Quran. Now, in this past weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Riyadh, they had a musical extravaganza, and thus the shaitans were there, and the men, women, no mask, no nothing, no social distancing, nothing, and dancing like animals and so forth, and all these things going on. How many? Today's report I was looking at, I think they got 700,000. So you must remember, 700,000 or something like that, 400,000 or 700,000. So if you count, all the people came together, 4 days and so forth. So chalo, even if it is 100,000, even if it is to 200,000, 300, so for satanic activities, you must remember, they allow all this. And for Hajj, which is an ibadat from time immemorial, ma min nabiyin illa waqad hajja. So they go on, remember this. We need to make these two, three things very clear. MBS is Murtad bin Shaitan. And all those ministers or whoever else agrees with him, and that is their policy, and so they're all Murtad out of the fall of Islam. And therefore, we must make dua. All these people, Wailul lil Arab, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, woe and destruction to the Arabs. So this is the meaning of it. You look at all these countries, Saudi Arabia, Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Egypt, Syria, Libya. So, and the list goes on and on and on. So you must remember, all of them promoting kufr and shirk and so forth and so on. So we must remember that this is a ploy, that now you don't have to make Hajj, and that you can just stay at your home and you can kiss the Hajr Aswad and this and all. So the Jews have already, they're controlling all three harams, if you look at it. Our three holy places, Makkah, Medina, and Masjid al-Aqsa. And the Arabs are falling for it and so forth. So therefore, we must condemn it. And we make dua, Allah give them hidayat. And if there's no hidayat, Allahumma ahlik ala sa'ud, kama ahlakta adaw wa thamud. We must be clear on all this. Allah must decimate, destroy them, and replace them with someone better, because they have sold out completely and totally. A government that can ban Tabligh Jamaat, the best Jamaat in the world for the past 100 years. So that government really is showing its true colors. Ban Tabligh Jamaat, who have millions, not thousands, millions of people have changed their life because of Allah's mercy and their efforts. And for them you ban, and all these shaitans you bring there. So that is what's happening currently there. And then they say the Khadimul Haramain Sharifain. You are Khainul Haramain Sharifain. You are Hadimul Haramain Sharifain. You are the one destroying the Haram and so forth, and the sanctity of it. But Allah will deal with you in such a manner, make you a sample, an example. Everyone there in Yemen, children who are being killed by you and the Arab coalition and the ulama and the sulaha who are languishing in jail, are cursing you. Allah's help will definitely come to them. And your decision. Yesterday I sent out what Majlis wrote, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai. The writing is on the wall for the Saudis. So we must never fear. Send it out to everybody. So remember that when people are committing such crime at such levels, so, and making the whole Hajj and so forth, the Muslim public are fools and idiots. Let us be honest about that. Some of them will say, what the good thing, you understood? So you must, they don't understand what really is happening and so forth.
Mufti Sahab, the next question is, the lady says, during menstruation, can I read manzil? In short, what can I do during menstruation?
You can make subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. You can read, you must remember that all the du'as, Rabbana, Rabbana, you can read all that, you know. So the problem regarding Quranic verses that you normally read, Ayatul Kursi or so forth, or Qul Wallah, Qul Falaq, Qul Bin Nas, you read in menses with the intention of dua and supplication, so that would be permissible, but not with the intention of tilawat. Remember, that would not be permissible and not acceptable. Regarding manzil, you can't read in menses. This Ya Ma'ashar al-Jinni wal-Insi, Qul Uhiya ilayya anna utafat. This is not duas and so forth. So therefore, our fatwa and verdict is that to read the manzil during menses, not permissible.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, should Iran be allowed to go nuclear?
100%, why should Iran not go nuclear? You must remember that every Muslim country, take this all Arab tenpot dictators, millions, just see today, yesterday, Britain passed the court today. They said the Amir of Dubai and all of them must pay $500 million British pounds. That works out to 10 billion, I don't know how many billion rands and what. The highest ever divorce settlement in British history. So how much money they have? But what is that? All bootlicking. Bootlicking Americans, bootlicking Europeans, bootlicking Israel. Show me one Arab country that got nuclear. Why? They said, no, that America will protect us. America is going to use you and throw you like a condom. They hate you, but they love your money. Don't you know the history of America? Take Pakistan, poor country among the Muslim countries. The only Muslim country that got nuclear. Why can Israel, the rogue regime, have hundreds of nuclear, and remember, Iran can't have. Just show me, give me one answer. I got nothing to do with Iran. I speak against them. I say the Shias are kuffar. But I'm saying, why are they not entitled to? We are saying what Quran says, وَإِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَى, that every Muslim country must prepare to the best of its ability. So you go nuclear, you get the best arms, the best defense, best ammunition, whatever, you must do all that. So why leave it only to America and Europe and Israel and so forth? Then they can dictate the terms and so forth. A very good example of this is mentioned in the Noble Quran. So what is mentioned in time of Dawood alayhi salam? So Surah 38, Surah Swad, verses 23, 24 and so forth. I read for you. So a case, a matter came to Nabi Dawood alayhi salam. Inna hada akhi, that this brother of mine, biological brother or brother in religion or in tribe, lahu tis'un wa tis'una na'aja, he's got, you know, 99 sheep, for example. Waliya na'aja tuwa, I only got one. Then he tells me, no, you mustn't have the one also. Faqala akfilniha, I must give it to me, I'll look after it. Wa azzani fil khitab, and he can speak better than me. He's got the media, he's got this, he's got that, he's got the power. Just exactly what you see today, if you take Israel and Iran, if you take the West and Iran and so forth. So Nabi Dawood alayhi salam said, قال لقد ظلمك بسؤال نعجتك إلى نعاج. See, how can he do that? He's making zulam. So same thing today, the West say, no, no for Iran, no for this. But why for Israel? Why for other countries? Why for you? So you must remember that. And then they want to use, then they said, no, we the five nuclear powers at that time will have veto. So Russia got veto, America got veto, France got veto, Britain got veto, Russia got veto. So like that, you know, China got veto. So we must remember these type of things here. Not one Arab country, not one Muslim country. So they can dictate the terms. So this is an indictment, hopeless, useless, impotent the Muslim Arab countries are. So we, Pakistan, we must salute them that at least they got, therefore India can't wag their tail too much because they know Pakistan also is nuclear. So that is why, remember, Muslims need to wake up and never rely on the enemy. That is short-sightedness, and that slow shows of our slavish mentality. Remember that we say we independent, but our minds are not independent, and Islam came to show us you must Have it in your brain. See, Taliban. No helicopter, no plane. They gave them such a hiding, threshing. They'll never forget for the rest of their lives. Okay, next up, inshallah, news with Brother Yusuf Ali, 12 to 1, the power of all, Almighty Allah, with Mohan Al-Qahtani. Then 1 o'clock, Adhan for Zohar. Then we'll have the Tafsir, Surah Taha, that chapter 20, verses 71 to 76. Then 1:30 to 2, Surah Nahal, and that is verses 96 to 100. And then will be 2 to 3, Madrasa on A, Maulana Zahid Khan. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of the Q&A of this morning, very interesting. 3:35 or so to 4 o'clock, Surah Al-Adiyat, Mufti Ahmad Kanpuri. And 4 to 5, Surah Hujurat, that is chapter 49, Maulana Ridwan Kaji. Then 5 to 7 will be... Maaf, so that for 4 to 5, Surah Hujurat, Mohd Ridwan Kaji. 5 to 7, Maulana the Khalid Yaqub. And then 7 to 7:30 will be my tafsir of this morning, when we had this afternoon, Surah Taha, verses 71 to 76. And then 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Yunus Patel. 8 to 9, Dr. Abdul Majid Khatmi, the rights of women in Islam and regarding a medical perspective. And then 9 to 9:30, Sheikh Shuaib Maida with Shafaat and Shamat Ahmed Khan. And then 9:30 to 10 will be Mona Salman Kaji. And then 10 to 11 will be Sheikh Salman. So, inshallah. So, the wonderful programs, inshallah, make dua for us. And Allah Ta'ala accept us all. Barakallahu feek. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
We say Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.